Revelation chapter 22, verses 16 to 21. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in, or literally over, the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star, and the Spirit, that would be the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that would be the church, the believers, say, come. Let him that hears say, come. Let him that is thirsty come. And whosoever will, that is willing in their will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto everyone hearing the words. Literally, I'm testifying with everyone hearing the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If any man should add unto these things, God will add unto him the plagues that have been written in this scroll. And if any man shall take away from the words of the scroll of this prophecy, God will take away his part from out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which have been written in this scroll. He which testifies these things says, surely or certainly, I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ literally is with you all. Amen. Chapter 22, verse 16 begins the final section of the book of Revelation. Verse 16 presents to us the process as John finishes up with a summary and an overview. Verse 16, I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify to you these things literally over the churches. That would be the seven churches of Asia, mentioned in chapters 2 and 3 of this book. Verse 16 is a repeat as he repeats the process that he started the book out with. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember that phrase, because the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not various revelations, plural, but it is the revelation of him. And next week when we get into prohibitions presented to us in this book, it's important to remember that this is a revelation of Christ. People are not to take away from it or add to it. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 1, which God gave to him, that is to Christ, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So that process is repeated. In fact, in verse 16, it's emphatic. I myself, Jesus, sent my angel to testify to you these things over the churches. Secondly, the profession of Jesus, as we finish out verse 16. Jesus says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. That's how it literally reads. Two things that Jesus presents here. First of all, he says, I am the root and the offspring of David. He's presenting himself as the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Isaiah says, and there shall come forth a rod or shoot out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So Jesus says he is the fulfillment. He is the descendant through the line of David. And he is the root and the shoot which comes out of that line, which is the designation of the Messiah. Secondly, he says, he is the bright morning star. Very interesting concept. The morning star announced the arrival of the day. Right before the sun comes up, the bright star that appears as the last moments of darkness are ready to disappear. That bright morning star signals that light is coming. And that's the term used here, that Jesus Christ is the bright morning star. A star has always been associated with the Messiah. If you've ever wondered about the wise men, the Magi, who came into Jerusalem, recorded in Matthew chapter 2, when they saw Christ's star and they came into Jerusalem and they said, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." They came from the Mediterranean area, around the Mesopotamian area. Balaam the prophet used to prophesy in that area. Not only did they have Daniel's prophecies, but they had the prophecy of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 17, where Balaam prophesied, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star," capital S, "out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheph." He saw a star rising up out of Israel and conquering all of Israel's enemies. And that's the prophecy of the star appearing to announce of Christ. And of course, Matthew chapter 2 tells us that the star that appeared was not an alignment of planets, but it was his star, the star of Christ. It appeared to them in the east, and then it disappeared. And as they went out of Jerusalem, it reappeared to them and led them to the Christ child, to the very house, to the very place where the Christ child was. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." So the bright morning star signaled the coming. Interesting, the last prophecy in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 4, it talked about the rising of the Sun of Righteousness. Speaking of the Messiah, he called him the S-U-N instead of the S-O-N. That he is the Sun, the rising light of righteousness. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 28, Jesus promised to those who are overcoming, "I will give him the morning star." That is, he'll give the overcomer himself. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star arises in your hearts." So the metaphorical use of star is associated with Christ in the coming and the rising of the light that shines in the darkness. Jesus Christ is called the bright morning star. As we spiritually live in a world of darkness, when Christ comes, he will usher in the Sun of Righteousness. Verse 17, the presentation of the invitation. We've seen the process that Jesus sent his angel to testify these things. We've seen the profession of Christ, that he is the Messiah, the fulfillment of Isaiah 11:1, as well as the bright morning star, fulfillment of Numbers 24:17. But in verse 17 now, the presentation of the invitation. As we conclude this book, there's an invitation, either by or to five groups of people. First of all, he says, and the Spirit, the word Spirit is capitalized in the Textus Receptus to indicate that this is the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. The invitation to come. Interesting that the Holy Spirit would be giving the invitation along with the Bride. The Bride of Christ in the Scripture is always made in reference to the church, the believers. So the Holy Spirit and those who belong to Christ are saying, come. Come to the waters, come to salvation. I think it's interesting about the Holy Spirit that here the Holy Spirit is giving invitation. We know that in John 16:8, it tells us about the function of the Holy Spirit now. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The word reprove means convict. The Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will convict everyone's hearts and attempt to persuade them to turn their life to Christ and surrender their life to Christ. The importance of that ministry is mentioned to us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said, wherever I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy will be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, that would be Jesus, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. When the Holy Spirit comes to a person's life and convicts them of their sin and of God's righteousness and of judgment to come, if that person rejects that persuasion and that conviction, they will never be forgiven for that. It's called the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, to speak against the Holy Spirit, to deny him and even associate his work with something that's not of God. So the Holy Spirit comes, he convicts the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. All manner of sin is going to be forgiven man. Why? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. So there's only one sin that cannot be forgiven. That's the rejection of the ministry of the Holy Spirit convicting us of our need because of our sin and because of judgment coming to surrender to the righteousness of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Now the Holy Spirit is giving the invitation. Come. Come to the water of life and drink freely. All of these invitations to come is taken from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, Jewish literature. It says, ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. He that has no money, you come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. The three invitations to come in Jewish literature that the Jews believed would be presented to them in the last days through Jesus Christ. So first, the Holy Spirit says, come. The Bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the believers in Christ, they say, come. And thirdly, literally, the text reads in verse 17, the one who is hearing, that's a present participle, let him say, come. So all of those who are listening, They are encouraged to tell people, come. And fourthly, and the one who is thirsting, another present participle, let him come. Thirst is a very interesting word used in the New Testament. It is used to signify a strong sense of spiritual need. A strong sense of spiritual need. A person with a thirsty soul. The one who is thirsty, let him come. We've seen this invitation in John chapter 6, verse 35, when Jesus was here, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. He's talking about the inner longing of the Spirit. He will quench that thirst, and a person will never thirst again. In John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, Jesus stood up on the last day of the feast. He stood up and he shouted, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So the invitation, Jesus said, come, drink of the water that I give you, the living water, which is a symbolic phrase of the very presence of the living of God's Spirit flowing from the innermost being of a person's life. So the one who is thirsting, constantly in a condition of being thirsty in their soul, let him come. And lastly, in verse 17, the literal translation is the one who is willing. This word for willing is the same word used for the will of man, our decision-making process. If you are willing, and again, it's a present participle, for the one who is willing, the one who says, I will come, I will partake, let him take of the water of life freely. Again, the water of life in heaven will be the flow of God's Spirit coming out from the throne. It's presented to us in the book of Ezekiel. And God's Spirit will flow from the throne and flow in amongst and in and through his people. We will never thirst. But people who are willing, let them come and take of the water of life, that is God's Spirit, but notice, freely. It's a gift. In fact, it's the adverbial form of the word for gift in Greek. Freely. Just like Isaiah 55:1 says, ho, everyone that thirsts, let him come and drink with no money. This isn't water as we know it. This is the gift of God's Spirit. And his Spirit flows with eternal life. And his Spirit flows satisfying the soul. So we have the presentation of the invitation to come. You don't have to pay for it. Jesus paid for it. Jesus said how much the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask. He will come and save us, fill us, seal us, guarantee us eternal life and everlasting life with Christ. We'll finish out this chapter next week. in the book of Revelation. As we are in this last portion and part, next week we'll get into the prohibition. Do not add to or take away from the Word of God, and especially the book of Revelation. The promise of His coming and the pronouncement of blessing upon those who partake of this book. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your blessing upon us. How serious it is to handle the Word of God, but what a blessing it is when You magnify Christ to our hearts. When we live in a dark world, we look for that bright morning star, the ushering in of Christ and the Son of Righteousness. We look forward to that day. We thank You for the living hope that You give us, that causes us to be able to face each day, as we sang earlier. I can face tomorrow. I can face today because of Christ. Because He lives, we live also. Again, we thank You for that blessing, for pouring out Your Spirit upon us, for Your faithfulness to us. We cannot use enough adjectives and expressions to describe who You are to us. We just offer You our thanks and our praise. We pray that Your Spirit would minister these things to our hearts this week, especially during the times when we're discouraged, when the day's not going well. Help us to see that there will be a new day, that You have promised to take us through each day, and then You have promised to draw us to You throughout eternity, to live in this wonderful place, experiencing the flow of the living water and the satisfaction of being with You throughout eternity. Bless our hearts and minds with these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.